I love my health. I love taking care of my health. This is no secret. And I like that in the modern world, it doesn't always have to be taking, you know, your shot of apple cider vinegar. You can also have a chewy little gummy for it instead. Or if you're feeling a little stressed and, you know, you want a little ashwagandha, you could take a gummy. Some of you are probably familiar, but if not, let me tell you about Goli Nutrition. It's wellness made easy and delicious with their chewable gummies. From apple cider vinegar for digestion support to ashwagandha for stress relief, Goli's gummies fit effortlessly into your routine. They're made with high quality ingredients, they taste amazing, and they're packed with essential B vitamins to help you feel your best every day. They're made in the USA and loved worldwide with high quality ingredients trusted by millions of happy customers with over 120 million bottles sold. Head to Goli.com. That's Goli.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try, risk-free, backed with their money-back guarantee, because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit Goli.com today. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Lexi Podcast, and this is going to be a personal episode. It's going to be all about me, life update, me. I don't know if there will be advice. There could be. Maybe there will be some little nuggets of wisdom, some sweet sentiments that you can carry with you on throughout your day, throughout your week, etc. However, I just want to vent. I want to give you a little update of where I'm at, how I'm feeling, what I'm doing. I want catharsis. That's what I'm looking for. So if you're someone who has listened to episodes in the past of how to make more friends as an adult or how to get out of a slump when you're in one, you're looking for more practical advice with actionable steps, I cannot guarantee that you will receive that from this episode. Now, if you're coming to this show because you're like, I love Lexi. Oh, she's such a little cutie. I want to hear what's going on in that little noggin of hers. Great. This is the perfect episode for you. Buckle on in. I don't really know what I'm going to say other than the fact that I'm sad. I'm so sad. I have the post-travel blues. A lot of times I'll take a trip and I feel inspired afterward. I leave that little weekend trip, even a day trip, thinking, how nice was that? Must do that again or incorporate X, Y, and Z from said trip into my life. I just spent the last 3.5 weeks in Australia and New Zealand, and I was so happy. I was so full of excitement and joy and bliss that I had felt before that trip, but it was amplified. And because it was amplified, going back to the joy and excitement, enthusiasm that I was feeling prior to the trip suddenly feels like a bummer. Even though, let's say, prior to that trip, on an average day, if I'm feeling my best, I thought that was a 10 out of 10. But then I went to Australia and I realized, oh, my 10 out of 10 in LA is actually only an 8 out of 10 in Australia. So I got used to feeling like 10 out of 10 in Australia, which would be out of the 10 out of 10 scale in Los Angeles. I'm trying to feel 12 out of 10 in a place that I can't. And therefore, it feels like a net loss. Someone stayed with me during that. It made sense in my head. I hope it made sense out loud. I'm just feeling a bit bummed. I was on such a high, and I want to take that and run with it and channel it, but I'm just bummed. The day that I got back, I still had my friend that I went to Australia with. I traveled with my friend Kimi, and she came back to Los Angeles and was in Los Angeles with me for 3 or 4 days. So it felt like the trip was still going because she normally lives in France. So it felt like not everything had completely ended, you know? But once she left, it settled in. Okay, trip's over. You're back to your normal life. And I wish I could lie and be like, I love it here, because I do. I like it here. I like it a lot. But I loved it there. I loved it there. And I want to get back there right now. I'll do anything. I'll work at a coffee shop. I'll deliver food. I'll be a truck driver. I don't fucking care. I'll work in a garden. I'll be a nanny. I will be a death doula. Sign me up. I do not care. And like I say that, and I mean that, and that's also how I behave. If you are a long time listener or fan, these things happen. And when I feel this way, I take action on them and I move. And it always works out and it's always lovely. I felt this way in Los Angeles when I was 19 and I said, I'm going to move to New York, and I did, and I loved it. Or 21, I forget how old it was when I moved to New York. 20, maybe 20. I think it was 20. And then I was there and had somehow gotten this idea into my head that I'm moving back to Los Angeles after 6 years. And I did, and I've loved it. And now I'm getting this itch, oh, I think I leave the country. And for so long, my friends and I have this talk a lot, especially the friends that have lived in Los Angeles and New York for our early adult life. If we've spent our 20s there, we think, okay, well, where's the third spot? If not New York, if not LA. And, you know, we have people come into the conversation. They'll say things like Austin, Texas, Nashville. What else do people say? Those, I feel like, are the two classics. I don't normally hear Chicago, but hell, you know, something like that. What normally ends up happening is that the third place that we land on is somewhere in Europe. You go to Paris, you go to London. And I thought maybe I could have an international chapter. I've never been called to London. I love Paris. I love France. I love Spain. I love Madrid specifically. But I don't speak Spanish and I don't speak French. And I spent last year trying to learn Spanish and I got better. I would have to immerse myself. I've never had the moment though where, okay, I'm ready. I could live here. So I just end up staying in LA. And then I've contemplated going back to New York. I'm not necessarily interested in New York. And then I visited Byron Bay, specifically a little farm town right outside it. And I thought, this is the third place. This is my third place. This is what I want. It's farm, open land with animals, but also young people and really great coffee and really great fresh food. And then there's a beach. I've never actually lived by the beach. That's one thing I've never done. I can't go on that tangent right now, but I will for a second. I'm trying to find some place to spend the summer. Ideally, it would be close to where I live right now, but it would be on the beach. And where can I afford at this stage of my life? Where's a beach that is young and cute, but I don't know what the budgets are. I really haven't looked. This has been an idea in my head for the last 24 hours, but that's something I'm thinking about. Never actually lived on the beach. LA's the closest. But if you live in LA, you know that the beaches closest to us, Santa Monica, Venice, it's not the same as living in a beach town. It's a city cosplaying as a beach town. You're not actually barefoot. It's a little too dirty. You might be barefoot, but I went to Will Rogers last week, or was it this week? Wow, time is moving by at a strange speed. It was so dirty and ashy, obviously, from the fires. So bad representation of what it's normally like. Not to say that fires don't normally happen here too. It's par for the course, unfortunately, but not in the way that we saw it this year. I digress. It's not a beach town, and I've never lived in a beach town. But hanging out in Byron, oh, that's a beach town. And then on top of it, I was hanging out with really great people, which is always going to sell a place a little bit more. Had I gone to Byron Bay knowing zero people and was just going off of things I had seen online, recommendations that I had Googled, it probably wouldn't have been the magical experience for me that it was. And I made friends and I mean, and then on a personal level, the whole reason I was there is because Kimmy is playing with Babe Rainbow, an Australian band, and I don't play an instrument, and I don't sing, and I'm not in the band. I'm a bona fide groupie as far as I'm concerned. Sure, I helped out selling merch and worked the door, but it's not like anything that I did was irreplaceable. I'd like to say, you know, that my energy, you can't find that just anywhere, but in terms of my technical skills, that's replaceable. So I'm trying to find a way in which that, A, I'm not just riding off of the coattails of my friend and the band. I'm trying to find something. I'm trying to find a reason to be there. And also I have this weird psychological issue with copying. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I hated when people would copy me when I was little. I had such a little individuality complex. Maybe it's the Aquarius moon. But anytime a friend would want to match, I would not want them to match with me. I'd be like, I decided this outfit on my own. I don't want to match. I found this bracelet, I don't want you to get the same bracelet. I still remember in sixth grade, my friend came into school after Christmas and said, oh my God, look, I got the same bracelet as you. I was so upset. I hated it. If there was an idea that I had and then someone else was like, oh my God, I love that idea. I want to do it too. I'd be like, get your own damn idea. I was very feisty as a kid that I've definitely mellowed out since, but the construct is still in my head that I remember how much it pissed me off as a child. Therefore, as an adult, I am internalizing these potential resentments towards friends that haven't even verbalized them. For example, has Camille ever said to me, you like Australia and you want to move there? That's kind of my thing. You can't do that. This is my band. Get out. No, but that's how I'm internalizing it. And I'm creating this narrative before it even happens. And who's to say it's even going to happen? So A, I want to spend more time in Australia and New Zealand. I don't want to lump the countries together. However, the trip was lumped together. New Zealand is its entirely own place and it's beautiful. And the people there are so gentle. There's such a sweetness to the country. And there seems like there's such a value and respect for the land and the people, which America could take some notes of. For instance, a little data point that I gathered while there is the fact that so many people in the country speak the native language colloquially. Is that the word? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, hellos, good nights. They use it in their everyday speech. They use the terms. And that's beautiful. I couldn't tell you more than five very, very low-lift facts about Native Americans. And maybe that's not true, but that's how it feels. And it was beautiful to see the people of New Zealand incorporating their indigenous people and their language and their culture into their speech and not just speaking English. It was clearly like a respect thing. Like, they respect it. They admire it. So that was beautiful. I also want to go to the South Island of New Zealand. I only went to the North Island and there's a whole other section. I mean, I could also say the same thing about Australia. I only went to the East Coast and even barely. I need to go back and I need to go to Melbourne. I need to go to Perth if I want to go to the West Side. I had a really good time in Australia and I want to go back. And then I have dog guilt. You want to hear about this? Where is all this guilt coming from? I perpetually feel guilty. Not perpetually, but cyclically. I don't feel guilty all the time, but I do feel guilty often. And I'm feeling guilty about the most random things. And what a useless emotion guilt is. Because a lot of times, it's not communicated from me to the person that's making me feel guilty. Let me give you an example. A friend wanted me to do something for him, and he had been nothing but nice to me, nothing but generous to me. But the favor that I had offered, I just was not feeling it the day of. I couldn't do it. I just was on my period, just feeling bleh. And I just asked if we could do it a different day, but I was feeling so guilty for even expressing that need because he had been nothing but nice and generous, and I felt like you owe this to him, even though I don't think he would have cared if we did it a different day. We ended up just rescheduling it to later that day, and it worked out great. Same thing, I have so much guilt that Spoon wasn't with me, and I have so much guilt at the thought of me wanting to spend more time in a place that he can't come. Spoon is my dog, and apparently, from what I've researched, it's a bit difficult to bring a dog to New Zealand or to Australia. And so now I feel like a failure of a dog mother that I have made a horrible mistake in finding interest in a place that he's not entirely welcome, or it's difficult for him to be welcomed. And then I'm thinking, oh God, so then I either have to choose him over me, and let's say that I'm getting way ahead of myself, but this is how my brain works right now. I'll be thinking, okay, so I move there, and then what do I do? Do I put him through the trauma of having to quarantine for weeks and traumatize him just so I get to live in this place that I really want to? Do I just go for bursts of time and leave him with friends and family? Which I will say, I was hesitant about leaving him for extended time. He did really well. I left him with my friend's cousins and their sisters. We met at a hotel during the fires and they got along with Spoon so well. And the idea of Australia was floating around and I'd mentioned it and they said, oh yeah, if you end up going, let us know. We'd love to watch him. It ended up being great. And he's been a lot less codependent since I got back. And he even cried a bit when I was leaving the girls. It's really sweet. So thank you, JJ and Claudia. I love you guys. And Spoon adores you. They were so sweet. When I picked him up, they already had a dog cupcake for him. He was wearing a little white jersey that said, I heart LA. They spoiled him. And that's, you know what, for a little sweetheart, he deserves to be spoiled. So it ended up being good for him. But it is something that I started to feel guilty about, even though I hadn't even made any moves. I had been home from this trip for days. probably on the first day, I was like, fuck, what if I want to move there? And then what do I do? What if I have to get rid of Spoon? That would be so horrible and I would feel so terrible and I would never forgive myself. I was going through it. You would have thought that I had already given Spoon up for adoption the way that I was acting inside my head. Mind you, on the outside, I was just giggling, saying, haha, yeah. But inside, I was like, you're the worst person in the whole world. How dare you think that? Guilt. What is the point? What is the point? I would love if I could alleviate myself of guilt forever. I wonder if that could be one of my wishes for the genie when he inevitably comes to offer me three wishes. Spoon was getting into something, so I went to go get him. And during those few seconds that I went to get him, I started to reflect on what I've been saying this episode. And I wonder if I sound as unregulated as I think I sound. These could just be the normal musings of adulthood. These just might be growing pains. You have a beautiful experience. You want to hold on to it forever. You want to go back and live in it again and again, and you wish it never ends. And then you get back home and it just feels lackluster. I don't think that's a crazy experience and a crazy reaction to have. Good grief. Good fucking grief. I have been having fun though. These are my more introspective thoughts. On the surface, when I first got back to LA, Camille and I were really hanging out on the west side. So a little fun fact about California is that the people that live on the west side, it's typically grayer for them in the morning and part of the day. And just generally, there's more gray days on the west side than there are in Silver Lake, Echo Park, Eagle Rock, you know, Pasadena. We're getting a lot more sun exposure than the neighborhoods closer to the water. For some strange reason last week, it was so gray in Silver Lake, my neighborhood, and incredibly sunny in Venice and Santa Monica. So we were just spending our time there. And we went to the beach and we rented these little sky bikes. It was like this two-seater electric bike situation. It was a motorbike. There was no pedaling involved. And Spoon just sat on our lap and we vibed to music and we smoked a little spliff and we rode as far as we possibly could. And then the next day we went back and played at the beach. Spoon loves the beach. It's really, really cute. He's such a dog in the ways that I love. My childhood dog growing up didn't like other dogs, didn't like people, didn't like playing fetch or going on walks, really just wanted to be left alone. Whereas Spoon, Spoon sees a stick and he's like, can I hold this the whole time on the walk? This is amazing. And then sometimes he'll drop it and I'll throw it and he'll run and get it and bring it back. Like, he just loves fetch. We probably played fetch with a stick I found on the beach for 2 hours on and off. It was amazing. Isn't that right? Didn't we play fetch? And he loves other dogs and he wants to play with other dogs and he loves other people. He's fun. He's just like a fun dog to bring around. He's not very loud and he's not very, I don't know, he's like pretty adaptable. Sometimes I stretch it a bit too far and I'll take Spoon everywhere with me, which probably is making for a codependent dog. But I, for some reason, have this fear of making him think that I've abandoned him, which I've given no reason to really do. I mean, I think of celebrities. That's what I was really thinking about. Celebrities that go on tour for extended amounts of time and their assistants are probably watching their dog. I'm like, and then I thought of my other friend who went to pastry school in France for 3 months and her dog was watched by her parents. There's ways. If there's a will, there's a way. And one of the ways is Spoon could get a little passport. We could figure it out, but it's been on my mind. What else has been on my mind? So we were hanging out on the west side. Then Camille left. Then it was birthday city. My God. I don't know if I just know a lot of Aries or if Aries just like to party. But I'm not kidding. This is not like a strange, humble brag. I went to 4 birthday parties in one night. 4. That's crazy. That's unheard of. 2 is nuts. 2 I knew. 1 was an acquaintance. And truthfully, 1 was just an end of the night party that was happening that I really didn't know the person. So if I'm being perfectly honest, I was invited to 2 birthday parties and attended 3, technically 4. Did I even see the birthday boy at the fourth one? No. And then the next day I had another birthday party. That one was fun. They were all fun. They were all different. One was angel themed. One was a backyard sort of barbecue, hot tub, sauna, nice house in Laurel Canyon, like real fun, like real comfortable, bougie, but casual. And then one was angel themed where everyone was in white. I was definitely wearing a black sweater that said lucky, but you know what? That's okay. It was black and red. A little contrast. And the birthday party I attended the next day was Renaissance themed. It was bubonic plague and everyone was dressed up and it was committed to the theme. It was from my friend Buck. He made you put on a trash bag if you came without a costume, and he would put whiskers on you and you would be a rat. And everyone who showed up without a costume was wearing a trash bag with their whiskers and was called a rat. And he came up to us during the party and was like, should we make the rats fight? It was incredible. You had to write a confession. There was ham and cheese, and it was perfect. It was fabulous. And then just had some friends over after, a little more wine, a little more cheese. Then went to another wine bar, and then went to another wine bar. It's interesting how life will come in sets. I always find that my life in particular will come in twos. For example, if I get a ticket, I'll get another ticket shortly after. If I meet a subscriber, I'll meet a second subscriber. It's so rare for me to meet just one subscriber in one day without meeting a second. And then I'll go days without meeting anyone, but it's so strange. Or I'll be recommended a movie and then I'll be recommended the same movie shortly after. Whereas this was birthday, 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 wine and cheese, wine and cheese, wine and cheese. Today and yesterday have been pretty good. The work grind is nice to be back. I will say, while I was gone, I thought I would have a lot of downtime to work, because you can never predict. Sometimes you'll be invited to something and you'll think, I'm going to have no time, so I'm not going to come with anything to occupy myself. And then other times you think you'll have so much time and you're like, well, I brought my laptop, my book, my journal. For what? What was I thinking? So it has been nice to have more space to actually schedule meetings, take calls, email people back in a timely manner instead of 2 or 3 days later. So that's nice. And I'm thinking I will just focus on working. I'm feeling the itch for a second job. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. Tyra's going around telling everyone I know with money has 3 jobs. So I'm trying to up them. This is not a job, but I have a project. I've been working on a coloring book. So once that's produced, we're good to go. You could argue that social media and the podcast are two different things because I really don't advertise the podcast. Oh, you know what I would love? What I would absolutely love? I want an angel to swoop into my life and say, we're going to get you a studio. We're going to get you an audio engineer. We're going to get you an editor. And all you need to do is get your guests, get your questions, show up, and we will handle the rest. We will make sure the camera is in focus. We will color correct it. We will come up with the vertical bits for you. And the studio will be free. No charge needed. And the camera angles will be just right. And the studio will be just my vibe. It will be not too corporate and not too dark. It will be cozy and silly, a bit whimsical, but sexy. You know what I would also love as a studio? I would love if I could record the show outside. A little picnic, a little playground, a little walk in the woods, a beach, an ocean, a tree. I don't care. I would love to have the background be outside. If I was sitting on a picnic blanket, barefoot, with my mic talking to you, with the cameras and the editors and the color correcting, that would be perfect. But I don't even know how to begin. I would have to go into ChatGPT or whatever and say, this is my vision. Please come up with a step-by-step guide for me. Speaking of ChatGPT, I saw some headline on Instagram. I forget what news site, but they were saying that people typing please and thank yous in ChatGPT are costing the company so much in electricity. It's just in our nature, like, you know, it's so funny. That was such a funny headline to me. So that's a dream of mine. What made me say that? It is true. I don't remember, though, how I went from having the blues and wine and cheese to, oh, that I've been able to work. And that's been nice because I'll make my focus working. I'll just get creative. But it's strange. I'm having one of those strange phases, which if you make content, or even if you just have social media, you probably feel this way too, because I don't think it might just be a bit amplified if you're making content more specifically, more consistently is what I mean. Something about posting sometimes for no rhyme or reason feels humiliating. Humiliating. Like, why am I so embarrassed? I would never have blinked twice, I don't know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago of posting an outfit of the day. as an Instagram reel. It's not that deep. I don't care that much. I have no humiliation or embarrassment around it. Why does that seem so embarrassing? And then this lovely brand sent me a ton of beautiful clothes. And so I thought, what better way than to play dress up and to say thank you to them and get back on Instagram reels than to make a little show and tell try on haul? So I did it. Oh my God. I was like, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done in your whole life. And you look disgusting in it. And then I've been saving my empties. And now that I'm back home, I figured let me just record them and then I'll toss them and get my new thing. Revolve is sponsoring today's episode. The reason I love Revolve so much on a personal level is the convenience of having so many different things. I wanted this cute little sweater from Frankie's Bikinis, and then I wanted a mini skirt from Daniel Guizio, and then I wanted a pair of Levi jeans, and then I wanted a beauty blender. All right, I wanted some Goop exfoliant. I don't think Revolve gets enough credit for their abundance and variety. I knew Revolve for clothes, but the fact that I can get my vitamins and a beauty blender all in the same spot is a big yes for me. And the shopping experience is easy because it also has product recommendations based on your purchase history and your favorite products and brands. And they have really fast and free shipping and fast returns. So from last minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and easy returns on all of them. For a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/Lexi and receive 15% off your first order with code Lexi. That's revolve.com/Lexi to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code Lexi. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. I want to start by saying that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to health, and no one needs to lose weight to be worthy, beautiful, confident. But for those who are looking for a science-backed, sustainable way to manage their weight, Effecty is making it more accessible than ever. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient found in popular GLP-1 medications, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by helping regulate appetite and blood sugar, making weight management feel more natural and sustainable. You fill out a short medical questionnaire, chat with a licensed provider, and if eligible, your prescription is shipped straight to your door. No waiting rooms, no hidden fees, and no membership is required. What I really can appreciate about Effecty is their transparency. You know exactly what you're paying for from the start, and they're committed to making treatment safe, affordable, and accessible to those who need it. If this sounds like something that could support your health journey, right now my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code Lexi at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code Lexi to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be my hormones at play. And I know firsthand how much stress can mess with hormones. Between work and life and travel, it's easy to feel a little out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system, helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, more. So it doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with the stress hormones such as cortisol. Small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Are you ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Lexi. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
You know, a classic empties video, and I recorded it. Same thing. I was like, oh my God, you stupid, stupid, stupid girl. Which, it's so neutral what I'm doing. So neutral. Nothing about those video concepts are out of the box, are risky, or particularly embarrassing at all. It's also not like it's my first video. I've been doing this for over a decade and a half of my life. So whenever these phases come, which they do, it's just a little bit of an ebb and a flow where you're like, oh God, why would I ever do that to myself? And then other times you're like, why would I not? Why would I not? I don't know. The actual filming process is fine. It's like the before and the after that's so nails on a chalkboard. But I did it. And you know what I'm going to do after I'm done recording is I'm going to import that footage onto my computer and give it a little look and see if I can just get it up there. Because you know what you can do if you post it? You can always take it down. I could also post on TikTok. Here's the other thing. Can I just complain? Now I'm feeling like bitching and moaning. We've really gone through my personal trials and tribulations, and now we'll go through my somewhat career ones. I love the podcast. I love vlogging. I think YouTube doesn't count for this, but Instagram and TikTok are particularly addicting. And I had really bad service, and videos are mostly what I see on TikTok, you know, whereas Instagram, it's a bit more of a mix. So a lot of times TikTok just wouldn't load. So I went weeks without TikTok, and my mental health, I mean, just my dopamine. It's not like my mental health in terms of insecurity, because if anything, it had zero impact. Did I not just say that I tried to film something and I'm like, ugh, you stupid, ugly hag. I don't actually think that about myself, only ever so slightly. But I've been off TikTok and it's been nice. My dopamine levels have really gotten back to a healthy place. Whereas before, oh my God, it was like feeding your body junk food if you're just always looking at your phone. And then I made this whole episode about it last week about how it's just not sexy. It's just not sexy to be on your phone scrolling. There's nothing about it. Just think of if someone were to catch you, if someone had eyes on you during the day and they saw that that's what you were doing with your time. Ugly. Ugly. And so I really haven't been on TikTok. And then Instagram is also quite addicting because I will have to send something in. Like a lot of times when it comes to brand deals, they'll require analytics. They want to see insights either before booking you or after the post goes up. And because of the addictive nature of the site, and then I don't know, run-of-the-mill garden variety ADHD, I go on to Instagram and I'll forget why I'm on there. Don't even think to go to my analytics. Next thing you know, it's been 25 minutes and I'm learning how to do lymphatic drainage, and then also watching, you know, it's I'm like, why was I on here again? And then I'll, you know, go back to the homepage and swipe to the previous tab, and I'm like, oh, I was checking an email. I was supposed to get something for someone. Here we are. So I would love to promote the podcast more and have like better clips and have more clips, but I would love to outsource the posting of all of that completely and entirely, which, you know, we're working on it. You know, I've got some help on the Lexi podcast Instagram, but I do need to get more video clips from the actual podcast. I just like sitting and chilling the way I am right now. I just don't know if it's beneficial for the show. If I want the show to grow, hanging out in my room, this is such an intimate, casual project. And I love the audience we have here. I think everyone who listens is amazing. And I love the size bit. But if I was looking to change it, if I was looking to increase it, that would be such an easy way to do it. You know, have a video element that people that are constantly online looking at videos could have the potential of seeing, as opposed to the search factor on podcasts. You really only hear about podcasts through word of mouth. I don't know how you found out about my podcast. I would actually love to hear, because I'm under the assumption that the only way you found out about this podcast is through me. I'm like, you had to have known me from YouTube or known me from Instagram. That is such a question I would like answered. I would love to know how you found the show. I love this show. This show is the best. I'm already feeling so much better. I was feeling wonky when I started this episode. Not loving it. I feel a little congested right now too, if I think about it. I just felt too bad that I thought that my mood would get in the way of me trying to have a teachable moment. You know, I was looking for catharsis. So thank you if you've listened for letting me have that. And now I will get into your questions. And if you're a Patreon listener, I'll give you some fun and juicy stories from my Australia and New Zealand travels that shouldn't be open to the public internet. So I'll get into those. But first, a word from today's sponsors. And I changed the sponsor sound from the harp that it normally used to be to a stapler. So I'm curious what you guys will think of that. So let's get into it. Obviously, there's going to be some Australia questions. Aaron Roach specifically, favorite part about Australia? The people, the food, no, the people. Like truly, Jack and Carter and Patience and Dorothy and Digby and Elliot and Angus and Sarah and Grunge Baby and Sandy and I like Miles and Jordan and Julian and everyone that I met, literally everyone I met. I'm just naming everybody that I met. And then in New Zealand, we have Angus and Olive and Oliver and Daniel and Robbie. Like I and Dylan. Oh my God, Dylan. I love Dylan. and Timon and Amy, everybody. I love everybody that I met. And Journeyman, fuck. They're just, you know, nothing but love for everyone that I met. And it's all of those people that made me want to go back. You know, everyone left their own little sparkle and impact. And Steve! Oh my God, and Steve! Everybody. That was my favorite part. Such a random question. Maya Louise or May Louise asked, have you ever fasted for a whole day or more? Benefits? No, I never have. I could see myself maybe for religious reasons, if that was important to me, or maybe health reasons, but I've never been in a situation where that was requested of me. You know, I've never had a doctor or a philosophical figure say, would you like to join me for this fast? Not entirely opposed, but I've never just had a day where I had the intention to do that. I could only think of a time, if I ever did it, would have been, you know, on accident due to sickness or something. Zoe asked, how do you measure success? I think I've been putting too much pressure on productivity. I measure success by how aligned I am. It's so hard to say these things sometimes because I do mean them with earnesty, but then I also have that cynical side that watches over me as I speak, but I mean this with my true heart. I feel that I measure success by how aligned I am with my soul. And I think that's the only way you can really measure success, because that's the only success that will truly be long-lasting satisfaction, where you listen to yourself in a time that you need to be a certain way or do a certain thing or say a certain thing, and you do it, you self-honor, that's success. Because if you're searching to aim to get the fancy car, get the fancy house, so you can brag to people, and on paper, you know that everyone's like, ah, look, she got the fancy house, she got the fancy car, she got the fancy job, so you can impress your parents can impress their friends, you can impress your peers. It's not long-term fulfilling. You know, it's the same thing when someone buys something and they're going off of the high of it, and then, you know, suddenly that hat that brought them so much serotonin for 2 weeks, if you're lucky, is now in the back of the closet and you can't even remember what brand it is. And you're like, oh, is that vintage YSL? Oops. So if you're listening to your soul, you're listening to your body, listen to your mind if it's healthy. Otherwise, listen to your soul and your body, because they will tell you things if your mind is trying to trick you. That is how I would measure success and how I try to measure success. So when I have a yearning, i.e. I'm feeling really pulled to go back to New Zealand and to Australia, or NZ. I don't think I'm not cool enough to pull that off. I don't have the accent. I don't say Zed, but I'm feeling pulled to go back there. That feels right. But then I have my mind trying to trick me, and it's like, well, you couldn't possibly go there. You have a dog. As if there's not a way around that, like a solution for making sure that like Spoon can come with me, or I go for a short, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to go on about that because I already did. Or that my friend will be upset that I'm stealing her idea. Those are tricks that my mind's trying to play. But that's me honoring my soul. But now I'm stuck. I'm like, do I go back? Hang on. I have to think this through. I have to actually think this through. I can't actually move to a foreign country. I would go for an extended period of time. I could actually move, and that's the truth. But I'm not in the mood to move. I also have one of my best friends in the whole world that's moving on my street, and he gets here in a week and a half. Can you believe that? John, my old roommate, he's moving down the block, and that's so exciting. And I can't imagine how gutted he would be if I was like, actually, I am moving to Australia. I think I just need to visit again. I would love to visit again. I would love to go on more trips there. And eventually, if it feels right and if it makes sense, spend a longer period of there. But at least I know that's a place that I love and adore and would gladly visit again and again. And then to sum up your initial question, listen to your soul. If you're feeling called to live somewhere, to study something, to learn something, to get an animal, to read a book, to write a book, whatever it is, that's when you'll feel successful, when you're really listening to yourself. Danny wants to know, what are my thoughts on the current beef between the US and Canada? Can we just leave Canada alone? Think of Canadians, okay? Really? We want to have beef with them? Who next? Switzerland? Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. Oh, I like this open-ended question. This is fabulous. to Staten, said, imagine everything, dot, 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 dot. What if we did that? I fully believe that if you can imagine it, it's possible. There is so much that we as humans have left untouched. There are possibilities that are so beyond our comprehension that if one person can even begin to tap into it, we could have such a world of a difference. I mean, the direction that a lot of the powerhouses alive on this planet right now are taking things, it's definitely one intense direction. You know, we're seeing the movement with AI. That's one way, for sure. That is an idea that would have seemed incomprehensible 50 years ago, but now we're in it. But think of, there's an equal alternative direction that we could go, and there's infinite other directions and possibilities that we can have. And I know that there's something brilliant hiding inside you, one of you, maybe all of you. If you can imagine it, it could be so beautiful. Oh, this is fun. So if you've been listening since last summer, or you're familiar with the episode, The Lexi Lombard Summer, I am a summer girl. I kill it. I know just how to spend my time. I do it well. Another season I love, spring. And so I was asked by Macy Chasey how to have a Lexi Lombard spring. You want to be examining the flowers. The flowers are coming in bloom. Look at them. If you don't know what they are, learn what they are. Smell them. Do you have some cowboy cologne on your street? Some California sagebrush? Do you have hibiscus flowers? What do you have? Where is it? Do you have an aloe leaf? Maybe cut it off and use it if you have a sunburn. Maybe plant a little wildflower bouquet. Go see them. I think spring is about the bloom, and go experience it. Go see it. Also, if you have some downtime in the afternoon or in the evening, maybe before it's time for dinner, after you've finished your work for the day and the sun is still up, sit outside on your porch, on your apartment steps, if you have a roof or a deck, get outside in some capacity and read 20 pages. Read for 20 minutes. It'll feel so good. Also, read before bed. That's not exclusive to spring, but it does feel good, and it puts you in the healthiest slumber, in my opinion. That ended a little bit like a question mark, healthiest slumber. I always do that, you know that. But it ends in a very healthy slumber. Lexi Lombard spring, other things. I mean, salads. You gotta have snap peas. Oh, if you live in Los Angeles, go to McCall's and get the snap peas. They're so good. There's nothing like it. I think they have them at the Santa Monica Farmers Market. So there is something like it. I think that's where McCall's gets them. That is so spring. All the salads, all of the vegetables, all the spring fresh vegetables. Have it with your dinner. Have it with your lunch. Very spring. And then start to get color back. Start to get color back in your wardrobe. And get some new socks and underwear. And of course, spring clean. Declutter. Clean your car. Clean underneath your bathroom sink, and just run through the closet really quickly. Nothing, you don't have to deep clean, but just give a little touch up. Lala Marcia said, would you ever move to NZ? Never say never. I mean, I loved it. I definitely want to go back and visit. I don't know how to pronounce this username, but Asen R. Kurulus. I'm so sorry if I butchered that. Have you ever struggled finding your social media identity? Example, aesthetic versus FaceTimey vlogs. The cool thing about being on social media for as long as I have is that you can try all these different things, and there's going to be natural seasons where sometimes you're in the mood for a completely... I was known at one point for my really, really curated Instagram feed where everything was blue and then everything was red and everything was green. I mean, to the point that I had people that had followed me on Instagram or Instagram friends that I had in real life that would be taking photos out in the wild of things that were red and sending me it and saying, this will be perfect for your feed. Versus having this casual solo sit down diary of a podcast. And there's certain times where you want to have a really casual vlog. All of my vlogs on YouTube right now are very casual. It's Arial font, it's iPhone, because that's what I want. And if there is a time in my life that I want something highly produced, I'd be curious to see what a highly produced version of this podcast would be like, genuinely. For two reasons. One, I'm curious if it would actually grow, because it would seem like it would. But two, I'm curious if I would have the same level of comfort speaking in front of people in a studio, the same comfort level that I have, I don't know, by myself. But I'm pretty comfortable in front of people, so I don't think it would make a difference, but who knows. I do feel a little bit more weary in front of a camera, just because I might be preoccupied by my appearance, as opposed to right now, I'm like, who cares if I'm sitting in an unflattering position? Because it's not about that. You can't see it. Whereas if you could see it, that might get in the way of, I don't know, some little gem that might come out. Oh, I like this question. Oh, there's three questions by Fia Leanne that I really like. One, how can I enjoy meh days? You always seem to be such a positive person. I hear that. And I almost feel like meh days are somehow worse than the really horrible days because there's energy involved in the really horrible days. It's the same thing. I would so much rather a thunderstorm than just an overcast gray day. Because where's the energy? It feels lifeless. It feels like the embodiment of depression and not apathy, but numbness. And when I have a meh day, if I'm not having a once in a lifetime experience once a week, as I like to, I feel as if I do today. For example, today was very meh. It was honestly relatively good, but then the afternoon came and the melancholy began to creep inside me and I didn't feel so great. I haven't totally fixed it, but I'm fortunate to say that I don't have too many meh days, but inevitably they happen. I just try my best, journal, try to call a friend. I always feel better. Like I have sometimes if I wake up with the melancholy and then I don't want to get out of bed, I don't want to go to the workout class, I would rather sleep in, or, you know, it's a morning that I just don't want to do the day. If a friend FaceTimes me and my first knee jerk is ignore it, don't answer. But sometimes my friends on the East Coast will call me at like 11. So it's only 8 here. And I'll think, don't answer it. You don't want to. But then I just do 10 out of 10 times, feel better afterward. So I like having a morning phone call and that kind of changes the mood. So try to do that. It's basic advice, not incredibly great, but that's all I have to say. What do you like to eat when you don't know what you want to eat? That's when I have to make the fridge decision. What groceries do we have? Okay, we have salmon and a sweet potato and some mushrooms. Great. That's what we're having. Oh, we want something a little bit more basic. We want to eat something with our hands. Okay, let's toast the bagel with cream cheese. If I don't know what I want to eat, instead of giving myself decision fatigue by scrolling on some delivery app for 30 minutes trying to decide something when nothing sounds good, I'm like, let's just choose the easy thing and let's go into the fridge and make what we have. She also asked, how are you doing? How are you really doing? And how's Spoon? Spoon's good. Spoon has developed. I came back and I was like, your dick is huge. What is going on? You're such a tiny guy. And he's 6 months now, so it's time for him to get fixed, which I wasn't even sure if I wanted to at first. It was almost like circumcision. Like, why would I do that to him? I don't know. I don't think I'll circumcise my son, but I do think I'm going to neuter my dog. But he's doing well. He's adorable. This morning, I have decided in the last 2 days that I want to pull a tarot card in the morning. I want to get more in tune with tarot and channeling my intuition through it. So my goal with this is just simply to see if I can get in tune with myself through the vehicle of these cards. And you know what's so amazing is that yesterday I knocked on top of the deck and shuffled them just to get it fresh and cleansed. And I pulled a card. I was like, what do I need to focus on right now? And I pulled the Four of Swords or the Three of Swords. I think it's the Four. And I looked it up and it's about rest and restoration. And I put it back and I shuffled a bunch and I left it. And this morning, knocked on the deck and I shuffled it a bunch of times and I pulled one card and it was the same card. I thought, okay, so it's working. Like I'm being told what I need. And then I was having fun with it because Spoon was just looking at me as I was doing it. I was like, do you want a reading? And I just started laying out cards in front of him and he was picking different cards. And I let him pick 3 cards and then I read it to him. And it's so funny. He paid attention the entire time. I'm like, I don't know what you think I'm saying, but it's adorable that you're even giving it the energy to pretend to pay attention or to, you know, pay attention and pretend you understand. This happens all the time with Tyra and I talking, my roommate. We'll be having a conversation and Spoon will just sit in like the third triangle position of the discussion and just watch us. And as if he knows what's going on, I think he speaks English, I think he knows a little bit more than I give him credit for. Because one thing about Sprint is he's paying attention. He is paying attention. He is not off in his own world the way that I am. I will be off daydreaming, la-di-da, Spoon is right here on the ground, boots on the ground, eyes like a hawk, listening. So he's good, and it's fun to watch him grow and learn his personality. And I'm so excited to see, like, what's next. And he's getting so good at potty training. Was something that, for some reason, you know, you think something's never going to happen, then all of a sudden you can't believe that you thought it would never happen. I was like, he's going to be having accidents inside the house for his whole life, and I'm just going to have to accept that I have a dog that only knows how to pee on potty pads. And it's like, no, now 2 months later, he'll tap my foot or bark at Tyra and then walk towards the door, and we'll just let him out, and he can just go off leash, lets us know. It's so easy. He knows dinner time and breakfast time, and right now he's asleep on all my Damps and Matter clothes that I recorded a haul for. You know what? Stay tuned on my Instagram. Maybe I'll post. I would like to post one or two of them. I would like to post both. And you know what? If the ones I recorded I don't like, I'm going to challenge myself to just do it again, because it's not that deep. It's not that deep at all. It's so frivolous. But that's that. Moving forward, things that I would like to reflect on before ending this episode and getting into the juicy stories for Patreon, which I'll link the Patreon in the show notes if you're interested in, like, the more fun stories. But overall, I need to alleviate myself of some guilt, contemplate calling on my therapist again just to check in. I didn't mention this, but I do think after a long travel, it's kind of nice to see family. So maybe I go to the East Coast and do a little tour seeing my family. I also would like to work. I would like to work on more projects. I would like to get my hands a bit dirty. I want to be involved in bigger productions. Let me help on set. Let me help in your library. Let me help outside. Let me take photos for you. Why don't you take photos for me? Let's figure out this podcast. If you know of a podcast studio or you would like to help me with that, if you're in the Los Angeles area and you love this show and you think you could help me make a really good video version of it, give me an email, lexilombard@gmail.com. Reach out. Let's make it good. That's all. Thank you for listening. Seriously, I hope you enjoyed. This was quite the cathartic one for me, as I keep saying. So take care. Who knows what I'll talk about next week, but only one way to find out. You got to tune in, right? Okay, I'll talk to you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.